Mais moi, non, propre, ça, non. Ça va. L'impropre sanna was ordained in what playing vipassana in Thailand 50 pansas ago. Am I? He's a 50-year-old. And I met him the very first week I arrived at Wat Phananashat, and he was of great assistance when I extremely foolishly cut a large hole in my foot. He was there at the monastery near at hand, and when I called upon his aid, his first comment was, "I think we'd better get that foot in the air," which has helped me from bleeding too much and passing out on the surround of the sala of Wat Phananashat. We've been friends ever since that day, and we co-led the monastery Abhayagiri in California for 13, 14 years, and he then carried on as the sole abbot for a number of years after that, and has since retired from that role, and Ajahn Nyaniko is now the abbot of Wat Abhayagiri. So we're very happy indeed to welcome Lumpo Pasano as one of the senior members of the community, and I think the most senior of the Western Sangha here gathered at the moment. So please, Lumpo, we request some Dhamma reflections on this occasion.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ sanghaṃ namassāmi. So I will ask permission from the elders and the Sangha that have gathered, all of the monks and nuns who are here, lay men, lay women, speak a few words. This is the first, almost the first day, but there's been sort of many boot ups for this gathering for the last couple days, but this is the first official day of the occasion of recollecting Lopo Samero's 90th year. His birthday is coming up in July, but this is a convenient time to gather. Especially when, as one can see, that there's many monastics from all over the planet who've gathered, and then similarly, lay people have come from many, many places, but particularly for the monastics in the summertime when Lopo Samero's birthday is, then we have limitations as to the amount of time we can be away from our monasteries. So this is a great time to be here. And just to acknowledge that this is taking place because there is a tremendous amount of goodwill and effort on the part of the Amaravati community, the monks, the nuns, the lay people, all have been helping out probably for quite some time. Planning's been going on for some time. People have been putting a lot of effort into the preparations And I came a little bit early. And I'm very impressed by the degree of harmony and good will, good spirits. People were working very diligently. I didn't hear a whole lot of grumbling and complaining. Which is, you know, that's really special. As human beings, we're really good at grumbling and complaining. It was quite, you know, the feeling is quite joyous. It's quite wonderful to see. And I think that's a testament to, Lompa Samero. It's a testament to the current community, but it's a testament as a legacy of Lompa Samero that so many people do want to help out. So many people do want to participate. People want to be here and witness this event and to be a part of it. So that's a part of Lompa Samero's legacy that he has affected people over all these years in a way that they're ready to. The size of the community is a testament, but it's all the diversity of the community. Is a testament to that the wholesome qualities that Lompa Samero embodies and exemplifies, because it's an example that we all can try to be a part of and to emulate. That sense of the fruits of living in a very skillful and beautiful way, it has effects, Lompa Samero has affected people in a positive way over all these years. Something that comes to mind. I mean, just in the sense of that diversity and broad kind of spectrum of the effects that ripple out when. So it was many years ago when Lompa Samero, one of his earlier trips to America to visit his parents, when his parents were still alive and going to, they were living in Southern California, and then he came up to the Bay Area, and he was encouraged by lay person to go and pay respects to a Chinese monk, Master Xuanhua, he went to their center in San Francisco, and paid respects, and Lompa Samero felt he wasn't actually very interested in going. He said it was not very. He didn't know who he was, and oftentimes people very well-meaning, they drag monks around to do this and do that, and thinking it's a really good thing, and we tend to be pretty bored by a lot of it. But Lumpa Tomato went, and he felt he had a strong affinity and respect for this monk, and so it went very well. He was received very nicely, and then after he left, after Lumpa Tomato left, the Master Hua told his community there that if they want to take an example of somebody, they should be taking the example of Ajahn Sumedho. He's a Westerner who has practiced well. And he said, and we have practiced together in previous lives. And so it was quite a bold statement. But that meeting, it ended up being several meetings over the years, and then the reason why, Ajahn Amaro and I had the place that is now Abhayagiri was given to Lumpa Tomato, half of the property, 125 acres of forest land was given to start a branch of Lumpa Cha and under the auspices of Lumpa Tomato. So it was given. The ripple effects of somebody who's lived a life of goodness. It's not a small thing, and it is something that we can be contemplating, and also not to be projecting it out, but returning it back in terms of how do I cultivate the goodness that is possible in my own being, in my own heart, because that's Lumpa Tomato certainly doesn't kind of tout anything about himself. That's for the rest of us to do during this weekend. But surely, I think what is a really important part of this occasion is to, yes, we're here to recollect and to pay respects to Lumpa Tomato, but also do we need to be turning it inward for ourselves? Because Lumpa Tomato has lived an exemplary life for his 58 years of monastic life. That's a tremendous example, and it's something that the Buddha himself encouraged in the sense of what it was called patibhati puja, the puja, to honor, to give respect, or to pay homage to, doing that through practice, doing that through action, doing that through not just through some kind of offering or chanting or whatever. Those are all wonderful things to be doing, but to turn our attention to practice a training and training ourselves. And I think that's something that, of course, in terms of example, the example of Lopa Samedo. I mean, he was somebody who practiced very, very diligently, and set the bar really high for the rest of us, and that is something that is to be be reflecting on. How do we take that example and to be putting that attention into our own practice and say that they now Lumpa, as he came in and spent a little bit of time with us, the reality is he's getting old, and he is old. He's not getting old. He is old. And he has limited energy, and his mobility is not that great. But making the effort to come over and spending a bit of time with us, it's a big deal. And as he has been doing, he's been sharing Dhamma on a very regular basis, all the lunar observance days since he's come back to Amaravati. That's been a real blessing. And again, it's an example. For us to figure out ways to bring this practice into our life and make that a patibhati puja, so both for Lopa Samedo and toward the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha, in terms of making that refuge very clear in our own hearts. And it's something that as we do pay attention to our training, there's this sense of we needing to, like when we say patibhat puja, it's getting the right, it's like Ajahn Chah, one of the ways that he expressed what the Dhamma was, and you said the Dhamma is that which is just right, Dhamma kukwampodi. And so it's a balance, the sense of balance, so that sometimes you say, well, okay, we should be putting it's like doing practicing in a diligent way to as an act of homage and respect, but it's also paying attention to what is the appropriate balance, because sometimes we try so hard in our practice and and just because we're flailing around energetically doesn't mean it is we're worthy of homage and reverence to the Triple Gem. It's we're flailing around and putting a lot of effort into going in circles. So it's just really, what is it that is a point of? Because it's in the end, the purpose of our efforts is always toward relinquishment, toward letting go. And the heart of the practice is a very radical letting go, a release of our habits of greed, hatred, delusion, release of our habits of kind of that I-making, the mind-making, the underlying tendencies to conceit. Those are the kind of effort. Any effort that we make should always be for that toward relinquishment and letting go. And so that, and certainly the, you know, say the example that I have seen of Lopa Samero over decades now, is that he's someone who is constantly reflecting on how to refine that relinquishment and attunement, the balance, so that there is a true refuge in Dhamma, a true refuge in truth, a true refuge in the kind of that clarity of clear knowing. I think another, as we reflect on the example of Lopa Samero, and it's something that he mentioned in his short reflection himself, or a short talk, was this feeling of gratitude, and that it's something to be turning our attention to in terms of what do we feel, what's the underlying kind of emotion that is a sign of our attuning to Dhamma. And certainly gratitude is oftentimes people ask, how do you tell if you've accomplished anything? How do you tell if somebody has had some realization? And that's one of the first things is is there gratitude there? Is there like a really strong sense of gratitude and appreciation for Dhamma, for truth, for the goodness of others? Because it doesn't actually take that much intelligence to figure out this Dhamma of the Buddhas. But it's, to live it, you have to have a tremendous sense of giving yourself to it and the gratitude and appreciation of of that truth, and a sense of gratitude and appreciation for the kind of goodness and relinquishment of others on the path as well. So certainly Lopa Samero immediately just feeling tremendous gratitude for the people who've come today, and especially his own elders and his contemporaries who've practiced with him when he was, because when he first went to stay with and train with Ajahn Chah, and it's kind of hard for us to imagine as being on your own, in a foreign country, in a place you don't know the language, within a quite austere and simple lifestyle, and he gave himself to that without thinking or considering who's going to come here and be my friend, who's going to be here that I can turn to a line. He really gave himself to it. And the especially the elders that are here today, Lopa Liam, Lopa Kun, Lopa Namlong, Lopa Ne, Lopa Sopon, they were all there when Lopa Samero first arrived, and saw this strange, tall, white being with a big nose, which is for Thais. It's we look pretty strange. And so that, and they brought held him. So he has tremendous gratitude. But I think as human beings, to be reflecting on those opportunities or occasions of how do we allow the mind to turn to gratitude, say rather, because it, you know, there's you know, in terms of samsara, this world of entanglement, and you know, there is a lot you can find wrong with it, but to find the good in it is what is really actually important, and something that, and I say something that Lopa Sumedho is definitely found the good in it, and then drawn the good out in others. So that's something to be delighted in, and tremendous appreciation. So that's what has brought, I think, all of us, or so many of us here, to acknowledge that. And I think it's a great opportunity. So just take this time over these next couple days and to recollect, to reflect, turn attention to these wholesome qualities, and to bring it up so that there is an opportunity to patibhati puja, to pay homage with one's own practice. So I'll offer that for reflection this evening.